The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Now we turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Actually, we'll be referring to the whole chapter, but I'm just going to read the portions of this chapter as we begin our message. Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. It says, therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not upon things of the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, the King James says, mortify the members of your body, or consider the members of your body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, greed, or adultery. For all these things, the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. You once walked in them when you were living in them. But now also you're to put them aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its practice, and you put on the new self, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal, that is, that has no distinction between Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave or free man. But Christ is all and in all. Verse 17 said, and whatever you do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him, to God the Father. Verse 23 says, and whatever you do, do your work heartily as to the Lord rather than to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, and the Lord Christ whom he serves. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong and which he has done without partiality. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity we have to be here in worship at this moment. We ask that you speak to our hearts. You'll draw us to that place where we'll be closer to you and committed to you in our lives, that we'll be obedient to your will. In Jesus' name we ask it. I want to begin by asking the question today. That is, what is Jesus to you? I want somebody to say, well, he has a place in my life. Well, Jesus don't want just a place in your life. Somebody say, well, he has a big place in my life. Well, he doesn't just want a big place in your life. What Jesus wants is to have preeminence in your life. Does he have preeminence in our life? I have to ask myself that question. I've asked myself that question repeatedly over the last few weeks. Does Jesus really have first place? Is he the most important thing there is in all of my heart and all of our lives? I'm to look at this chapter with that in mind. Is Christ all in all? That's what verse 11 says, that Christ is all, and he is in all. You know, that means if Christ is all, that leaves nothing out, folks, nothing. That means he's everything. So the big question is Jesus Christ really our all? Verse 4 says Christ is our life. See, he's not just give us life, he is our life. And Jesus, you know, is not just the one who points us to Christ. He is the very life. Jesus himself said it in John chapter 14 to his disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, verse 6 here says that Christ is our life. Now, other religions of the world don't believe this. You know, we often get criticized because we live in a society that says we ought to be tolerant of all these other people in the world and that God is going to be so gracious and wonderful and kind. Well, I'm telling you what, Scripture said that there is no way to God except through Jesus Christ. And I don't care who they are or what they are. There's not a religion in this world who denies Christ that is right with God. And, you know, they're serving idols and the falsehoods. And folks, it's time for God's people to stand up and say the day of tolerance is over. We need to stand for the truth, speak the truth. Jesus Christ is it. That he is all in all. There is nothing else. You know? Now, A lot of these religions in our world today, they distort the truth. They make a place for Jesus, but they don't give him supreme evidence. You know, some of them just outright deny him. But the real question for us today is, do we know Jesus? Not do we know a lot about him, but do we know him in a personal, long relationship? Jesus was praying in John chapter 17. Actually, he had left the upper room with his disciples before the crucifixion, went across on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he stopped and he had a prayer in the middle of the night. That's the real Lord's Prayer. The other prayer we call the Lord's Prayer is the disciples' prayer in reality. But Jesus prayed the Lord's Prayer here. And in John chapter 17, 3, he says, "This is life eternal, that you might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Folks, it's Jesus only. He's all in all. It's not just knowledge about him. It's not just Jesus plus something else, or Jesus, you can take something away from him. And, you know, and while we can get to know Jesus better, but folks, we can never get to know anything better than Jesus. You know, we can go deeper into Jesus, but we can never go beyond what he is. Paul says, Christ is all and in all. Now, this passage of Scripture says something about who we are as Christians. It starts off by saying we've been raised with Christ. Well, and then it goes on to say, because we've been crucified with Christ. So the old life has died. So if we've come to know Jesus, our Savior and Lord, then we have died to an old way of life, and we bury that life, symbolic of what baptism was this morning. We bury that life, and then God has raised us up. And then, but not only has he just raised us up, but he is our life from that point on in verse 4. Christ, and our life is hidden with Christ. It is, you know, we are wrapped up in him. We're secure in him. There's nothing that can take us away from him. We actually are hidden in Christ. And it goes on to say that one day it's going to be revealed all that is in Christ and all that we are in Christ. And when he's revealed in glory, then we're going to share his glory with him through all of eternity. Now that's who we are as Christian people. We come to know Jesus. Listen, I tell you, there's nothing else better in here and in eternity. Paul wrote to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He said, "I've been crucified with Christ. That is no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me." He is our life. We are hidden with him. If you back up to chapter 2 in Colossians and look at verse 3, and talking about Jesus, it says this, "In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, I don't think you think about that for a moment. That's probably one of the most wonderful verses in the Scripture. When you tie it together with what Paul says here, that we are hidden with Christ. In Christ is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And that we are hidden in Christ. Folks, how can it get any better? You know, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Jesus, and we're hidden in Jesus. See, there's nothing worth knowing that's really outside of Jesus. There's no wisdom in this world that this world can offer us. None, absolutely none, that this world can offer us that can even compare to the true wisdom that Jesus Christ has. He is our all in all. Now, in light of that and who we are as God's people, Paul writes to the Colossians here, and this is what he's saying to them. He is all in all. So what's the result of that? How are we supposed to live? What are we supposed to do as a result of recognizing that Christ is our life and he's our all in all? Well, there's some very clear commands in this passage, and you know, and the first one is in verse 1, and he says, "Dear, what are we to do? We are to seek things that are above." We are to seek the things that are above, the heavenly things. That is, Jesus is to captivate our ambition. He is to be the focus. The heavenly things are to be the focus of our lives. We have so many things that are pressuring us and pulling us away from God today. The world, all of the things that are going on in our lives, our families, our worlds, there's so many things it wants to pull us away. And we can spend all of our time struggling over all of these things and miss out on the most important, and that is that we're to be seeking the heavenly things. Those are the only things that's going to last. Everything else is going to be consumed and burned. So we're commanded to seek the heavenly things, seek those things which are above. But not only, you know, it's to captivate our ambition, that which guides our life and everything that we do, the decisions we make. That should be it. But you see, not only are we to seek those heavenly things, but the second thing he says in verse 2 is that we are to set our mind on those things, not on heavenly things, not upon the things that are upon the earth. Not only to seek them, but we're to set our minds to them. That is, that not only is he to captivate our ambition, but he is to dominate our attention. Think about it. It's what we seek is what we're to set our minds upon. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So he's to dominate our attention. We are to meditate upon him. We are to set our mind on him. There are many things pulling us away in our minds and our hearts today. There are many things that are pulling at us. You know, we like our life sometimes. We devote ourselves to recreation. We devote ourselves to making money. We devote ourselves to, you know, to relaxation or whatever. Nothing wrong necessarily with any of those things, except that they will take us away from the most important. If we set our mind on heavenly things, if we seek the heavenly things, then we are to set our minds upon them. You know, that becomes the burning focus of our lives. Then we're going to have to set our affection upon them. And, you know, as a determined way of living then becomes evident. Jesus is to dominate our attention in everything we do. In Isaiah 26:3, he says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee." You want peace? We have to set our minds upon the heavenly things. And then the third word is not the word that's used here, but it's the word I use because it rhymes with the outline. We're to seek, we're to set, and then we're to slay. And verse 5 says, King James says, we're to mortify our earthly beings, the things of the earth. We're to put them to death. You might extend said we're to consider them to be dead. The word mortify literally means that we are to hate them. You know, so we're to slay those things. That ultimately means this. Jesus not only captivates our ambition, not only does he dominate our attention, but he regulates our actions. We're to die to an old way of life. You know, if you read this verse, this chapter, notice what he says. He says his, you know, we always think of God as being a loving and wonderful and gracious God, and he's going to let us get away with all this stuff. We want to think of God somehow as a big grandfather in the sky who said, no matter what you do, it's okay. But I tell you something, God hates something. There are some things he hates. And he pours his wrath out upon those things. And those things are sin. You know? And Paul lists some of them here in this chapter. He said, immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, greed, which all amounts to idolatry. We place something else before God in our lives that becomes our God, you know. So, you know, he said, all these things bring the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience. He said, you once walked in them, but now that you're saved, you don't walk in those things anymore. Your life is different. He goes on to say, put away anger and wrath and malice and slander and abusive speech from your mouth, and do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self and its practice. But verse 10 rather says, put on the new life. Now, if Christ is my life, then I'm to live like Christ. If he's my all in all, folks, that means we mortify, we put to death forcibly those things which are of the flesh. And we give our lives away to Christ. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 16 lists some things God hates. He said, these six things does the Lord hate, and seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. Well, that means God hates abortion. Okay. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running mischief, and a false witness that speaks lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Folks, we're being told in our world today that we're to be tolerant of all people's teachings. But I tell you, it's come a time when we're going to have to stand up and say there's some things that are not right. And Jesus Christ is the one we're going to live for. He's the one we're going to stand for. We're going to slay the things of the world. We're going to slay the reasoning of the world. We're going to slay, you know, all of those things that pull us away from Christ in this world. And we're going to put on a new self and we're going to live for Jesus. That brings us to the fourth point I want to make this morning. Not only are we to seek those things that are above, not only are we to set our minds upon them, not only are we to slay them, mortified things and put on, and to mortify the earthly things, put on a new life. But when we put on that new life, you know what will happen? We begin to serve the Lord. We serve Him. You know, verses 10 through 25 is talking about that kind of service we're to give to the Lord. Verse 10 said, put on a new self, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who's created. That, what he's saying is that once we slay the old life, we put on a new life, and that new life will reflect the image of Jesus Christ. And we will be like Him. And then He begins to tell us what we're to do to be like Christ. He said, number one, you've been chosen of God, holy and beloved. Have a heart of compassion and kindness, humility and gentleness and patience. Bearing with one another, forgiving one another. And whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, you should forgive. Beyond all of these things, put on love. That's the perfect bond of peace. And then he said, let the peace of Christ dwell, rule in your hearts. 16, he says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with wisdom and teaching. Verse 17, and whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to Him through God the Father. Then he applies these truths to the home life, to the wife, the husband, the father's children, even to the slaves or the two employees. But then in verse 23 he said, and whatever you do, do your work heartedly, with all of your soul, as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that the Lord will reward those with your inheritance. Let the peace of Christ rule our hearts. The word of Christ dwell within us. Do all things in the name of Christ. Those who are to seek the things that are above, who are to set our minds on things that are above, who are to slay the things of the earth and to put on the new self which reflects those heavenly things, and we're to serve the Lord heartily with all of our soul rather than serving men. So I ask you today, is Christ your all in all? Does He have preeminence within your life? Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning for the opportunity that we have to begin to be at worship. And we pray that Your Holy Spirit will apply this truth to our lives. Help us to examine ourselves about our relationship with You and the place that You have in our life. And that we would honor You by surrendering our lives to You. And it is in Jesus' name we ask it. If you're here today and you recognize and know that Christ has really not had first place in your life, then now's the time to say, it's going to change. Because He is my life and I want to give my life to Him. If you're here without Christ as your Savior, then you need to open your heart and life to Him today. The greatest thing that's ever happened to you. All the wisdom and the knowledge of glory is stored in Christ and in your relationship with Him. You know, the peace comes from giving ourselves totally away unto Jesus Christ. I ask you to do that today and be obedient to Him in whatever God speaks to you about.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ, or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.